Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of At the Movies. As usual, we are here to discuss going to the movies, why we think that experience is so impactful, and of course, what it means as an exhibitor to bring that experience to an audience. So today, Brandon brought a guest with us. Do you want to tell us who you brought, Brandon?
Yeah, Tim Patton is, you know, been in this industry a long time. I'll let him give his deep bio, but been a friend of mine and been a friend of the exhibition community for a long time. He is, in theory, a film booker or a film buyer and owns Cinema Services. So, Tim, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
And if you just want to jump in and give us what all that means.
Where do I begin with something like this to make it interesting on a podcast? That's
and in today's world, right?
Like, and in today's
this is a
and
mess.
In today's world, how did I get into this mess? Is really,
how did
really
anyone get into this mess?
Let's see. I call myself a one trick pony because I've been doing this my entire life. I started working in movie theaters when I was 16 years old. I went to college to learn how to make movies, figured out it wasn't Steven Spielberg, went back to doing what I knew what to do in terms of exhibition. I started in the industry when I lived in Boston, and I worked for a non-theatrical distributor there called Wholesome Films. It was a really unique experience because it was right off the Boston Common area in an old film row section of town. And so my introduction to film distribution was selling films, 16 millimeter films, to nursing homes, day schools, all older titles that before video was even around. This would be back in the early 80s, 1981. After I'd gotten out of school. So that was an interesting experience. I was inspecting films, selling films, and my connections in working for United Artists Theaters when I was 16 years old actually paid off because there was a friend of mine that had become a general sales manager at Universal Pictures, Ben Kamick, and he helped introduce me to some people in the industry and in film buying and film exhibition. And I started out Columbia Pictures as a gross clerk. And that introduction came from the person that actually started Cinema Service Company, Bill Slaughter, who helped open a lot of doors for me in the Dallas area with distributors and exhibitors alike. So I worked for Columbia for a while, for 9 months. I was a film buyer, film buyer at General Cinema for 3 years. Then after that, I went to De Laurentiis Entertainment in the mid 80s. I was there for probably 2.5 years. Then I went to MGM. I was there. And then I moved out to LA, worked for Act 3 Theaters for about 3 years in Los Angeles. And then 1991, I ended up, it sounds like I can't hold on to a job, doesn't it?
Welcome to the movie business.
Exactly.
It's one title at a time.
Yeah, I know. So then I lived in LA for roughly 3 years, and then I had an opportunity to move back and become partners in Cinema Service Company with Mr. Slaughter and with his son Rick and a good friend of mine, Bill Herding. You know, we do programming for the theaters. We negotiate their deals. We handle everything from soup to nuts. So if you're going to build a theater, we can certainly act as a consultant and connect you with the right people in order to build a theater. And not that anybody's going to be building any theaters anytime soon. There's going to be a lot of probably theaters available, but I don't think there's any need to build anything anymore right now. But so we basically handle it all. We got 7 people here, including myself, and it's a lot of fun. We were probably booking films in 22 states, I guess, and about 800 to 900 screens.
So let's talk about the size of your company first. When you talk 800 or 900 screens, Where would that put you if you were viewed as an exhibitor? That would make you the what number, or what kind of market share would that mean?
The market share isn't as big as the size of the delivery that we can make to film companies when they're requesting for a first run film to go into our theaters. So, market share in terms of how big our pseudo circuit would be, it would probably be number 5 or 6, I would guess.
Wow, that's impressive.
Maybe in that range. There's some other film buying agencies out there that are about the same size that we are. We're all in about the same boat. And that puts them, they probably might have a little more market share than we do. We might have a few more screens than they do. They might deliver fewer runs to a film company than we can. There's probably about 3 of us, I think, that are about the same size.
And what does your typical, or maybe there isn't a typical exhibitor, but what do your clients look like? Who are some of the unique ones?
Gosh.
And what experiences are they delivering that you find to be unique?
Yeah, our clients are very diverse in terms of what they do.
So anywhere from single screen operators to multi-unit?
We represent the guy that plows the back 40 in the day and turns on the projector bulb at night. So that's the Ma and Pa toothpick chains that are in the Texas area. We represent a lot of those guys. That's really a lot of the backbone of what we do. But
and you can plug them. We don't mind. We're here to share exhibitors. Oh, so absolutely. Please feel free to mention them all. We'll put links to them in the show notes.
Well, there's a lot of those. I mean, and there's nonprofits too that we represent.
So who's one of the little guys? That's the single screen or the single location. Like what does that look like? Cause we definitely want to send people there.
Gosh, where do I send them? I'll tell you, I got a great example. There's a lady, Tammy Steinem, in the town of Yoakum, Texas. And she had a dormant theater that she purchased in the town. And she reopened it. She's a school teacher in the daytime, and she runs the theater at night. And I would have guessed in Yoakum, Texas, there's maybe 1,700 to 2,000 people, but they have a surrounding community that supports the theater. But when she took over the theater and decided to put a little money into it and spruce it up, it had been dead for a while, a long time. And I have to say, she's a shining example of somebody that has resurrected a town, and the theater does quite well. The town supports it. She even added another screen about a year ago. So she does a fantastic job and gets a lot of support out there.
You're wondering where Yoakum, Texas is, it is west of Houston, mm-hmm. and south, it sits between Houston and San Antonio, kind of south of Austin. So if you're looking for it on the map, and I'm sitting here thinking, wouldn't this be a great road trip if I had an extra 4 hours and 15 minutes?
Maybe you could figure out a way to go by to Brenham, Texas, and get some Bluebell ice cream on your way to Yoakum, That would be...
Yes.
I'm much further away than
that. As a Bluebell very yeah. well. Okay, so Yoakum, Texas.
Yeah.
And what is the name of her... What's the name of her theater?
The Grand Theater in Yoakum, Texas.
The Grand Theater. So that's perfect. And their first run?
They are when we can get first run. Commercially, they do real well in the meat and potato films. If you have a Wonder Woman or... Black Widow or a Pixar movie, those are going to be their bread and butter for sure.
And then who's somebody kind of as a smaller mid-size exhibitor for you?
Well, that's, we probably represent quite a few of those. I mean, I wouldn't put them as necessarily small, but I'd say strong regional players overall. We have, I think the most concentrated circuit that we book it for is the Santico Circuit in San Antonio, where they have, I think it's 9 theaters and in the area, and they're great theaters. I mean, they're top 25.
They're palaces.
They're
beautiful.
Top 25 theaters in the nation on grosses when they come out. The founder of Santico's Theaters, John Santico's, when he built those theaters, he spared no expense. He was an incredible operator. He died about, I want to say, 4 years ago, maybe. Maybe longer ago than that, maybe 5. But he left a legacy in that town that is unforgettable. And what's really great about the Santico's organization is it's owned by a trust. That is very unusual in our business. And for every ticket that is purchased at a Santico's theater, they give back to the community. There's probably anywhere from, I would say, 8 different charitable organizations where the funds are dispersed throughout the community of San Antonio. So when you go to a theater in San Antonio, you're actually supporting the city.
Wow, that's awesome. Great. And I think that just shows, and that's a great job of, well done on the Santico's part. But I mean, I think that demonstrates how important movie theaters are to their community. I mean, you've given us 2 great examples from a small independent to a regional player, and how one, that the movie theater can revitalize a town and become kind of a centerpiece to it. And then even in a bigger town like San Antonio, you have a committed organization like Santico's who continues to give back. And I'll mention one other thing. We've talked about this on the show, is that we talk about creating jobs and how many first jobs or early jobs begin, like you said, Tim, even yours was in the movie theater. Mm-hmm. And what an incredible place that is, that so many people have that starting point, and that movie theaters are a central part of the economic driver to these communities.
They very much are. There's probably not a better example in the United States than what Santico's, the legacy that he left in the town, and how he set it up, how he set the trust up to be run. And it is a fantastic thing that they do for the community. There's no doubt.
And I would also say they were one of the first to reopen during the pandemic. They were very early on. They were very bold about it. I thought they put together a great informational piece about what to expect and the changes. And a lot of that became, you know, a first rep for other movie theaters. So it feels like Santico's is one of those that's innovative, that really cares. And again, just because you have 9 locations doesn't mean you're not leading the way in exhibition.
The CEO there, Tim Handren, was very specific about how he wanted to reopen his theaters. And when the governor of Texas gave a green light for theaters to reopen, whether we had product or not, he wanted to make sure that he was front and center in terms of protocol, safety guidelines in his theater. And the messaging that he wanted to send to this community is that they were there, they were open, come by, you know, try us out. I mean, he did a great job of just posting a video of himself in front of the Palladium and just saying, hey, here we are, here's what we're doing. We want you to feel comfortable. This is the way we're doing it. And come on by, check us out.
Yeah, it was well done. Have you been back to a movie theater?
And yes, watch
the movie. What'd you watch?
Well, I watched Tenet.
It's amazing in a theater. It's everything you forgot you missed about going to the movies, I felt like. Just the sound.
Yeah. I think that, look, if somebody can explain the movie to me, that would be even better. But
remember early on in Tenet, they said, don't try to understand it, just feel it. And I feel like that's what you have to do in that movie. Don't try to figure it out. Just feel how cool it is.
Yeah. I mean, look, there were several false starts on Tenet to relaunch the industry, but you have to take your hats off to Warner Brothers for what they did in turn, and Christopher Nolan for pushing it as well, and to kind of relaunch our business. And, you know, we just need others to follow suit at this point, and we need other governments to open up, like in Michigan, Scott.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
you know, I know that's those are difficult calls, and we continue to have theaters that are shut down in New Mexico, in New Jersey for various reasons. We have even though you can open up, and Maryland is a difficult state to open up in as well, because even though the government might say, okay, it's okay to go to 25%, you have to go through another governmental system in Maryland with the counties that have to bless that. So the governor doesn't even have the final say in situations like that. We'll get there. I know we will, but we need to get there sooner than later, because LA, New York, San Francisco, and bigger cities really need to be open at this point for there to be a sustainable business right now. I mean, I think down the road we'll get there, but right now it is very important for the Hollywood release schedule to solidify and for things to stay in place. And
yeah,
it's very liquid, as everybody knows. These pictures move around like water, so it's tough.
What do you think it is going to take to get the general public, the movie-going audience, to go back to the theaters?
That is the million-dollar question, right?
Well, you have 30 years of experience, so we're leaning on you.
Well, I have 30 years of experience, but I'm also someone who's 62 and almost 63 years old, and I understand why an older audience might not be ready to come back to a theater. I think that the messaging has to be front and center, and it has to be on a national level. It has to come from talent in Hollywood, and it has to be broadcasted nationwide on a big marketing, as you guys would know, to announce that we're back open, that our protocols are there, and that and that it's safe to come back. And guess what? Here are the movies we have coming. I think it's going to take a real groundswell of support in order to convince people to do that. So the messaging has to be strong. That's the first thing. The second thing is, I think there is a matter of convenience with the public right now. First of all, Tenet was not a four-quadrant movie by any means.
And can you explain to people what that means?
Well, I mean, if you're male, 18 to 35, and a female, 18 to 35, you fit into two different quadrants. And then the next quadrant, you know, you have kids that fit into that quadrant. And then you have the older crowd that are male and female. So you want a picture that fits into all four of these quadrants that gets everybody in the door. And Tenet was not that movie, certainly for us three. It's a film that we're interested in seeing, but maybe females that are 18 years old don't care about it. So you have to have those movies. Wonder Woman would be a great film, because I think both males and females of all ages embrace the first Wonder Woman. That's why it grossed so darn much money.
Yeah, 105 million opening weekend. I mean, that's a big movie.
Those are big movies.
What do you think we know Hollywood and the studios play a major part in this, because at the end of the day, the films are the driver. But mm-hmm. What do you think exhibitors need to do?
Well, I think they need to continue to do what they're doing, which is messaging to their loyalty members about how safe it is to come back. I think anything they can do in terms of private events, private theater rentals. I think my hat's off to Cinemark for a great job that they have done in their private rental business, because they were first and foremost to kind of come out and really put a great foot forward in terms of offering that for a low price. That was really enticing for them to do that. They were, you know, if you just wanted to go see a movie by yourself, you could have bought an auditorium for $100 and you felt very safe in that. I think that that sort of creativity is important right now on the exhibition side to make people come back and feel comfortable in our buildings. So from a programming standpoint, we have to drive home private events. So we know that in Texas, and probably, Scott, this isn't happening in Detroit or the Michigan, Lower Michigan area right now, but, you know, Dallas is leading the nation in people coming back to their offices right now. I heard that figure the other day, which was, I don't know if that's a good thing. I don't know if that's really good or bad or what to think of it, but it is a statistics that is interesting. It says that we're trying to get back to some form of normalcy here. So I think to tap into the corporate events and private events like that and be able to have someone locally that can go to these businesses and say, we want you and your business in our theater. That's important as well. That's an important ingredient, because right now the product isn't going to be the driver. We don't have the movies that we need to have in the marketplace to get everybody back in. So we're just going to have to be very specific about how we go out and get that audience back into our doors. All of them. We don't have any family films in the market because everybody's written off family films because families don't want to go to theaters. Well, we really don't know. It's a catch-22 because we haven't had a family film released into the marketplace yet. So how do we really know until we do?
Yeah, I think the first family film that's currently on the slate is Connected from Sony on October 23rd. So that may be the first chance we get to see if that audience is going to be willing to come back.
Right.
Tim, we are coming up on our time with you. We so appreciate you being with us at our
Thanks
podcast. So I've got to ask you two questions to close up here. What is your movie going experience look like when you go to the theater? What rituals do you have? What movies do you like to see? What do you like to snack on?
Golly. Well, let's go with the food first. I mean, so locally, if I, you know, depending on what theater I do go to, it could be a Cinemark theater, it could be Angelica or an Alamo theater, that's here. You know, I like going to support everyone. And so what's great about going to any of those theaters is I've got to have popcorn, and I don't want butter on my popcorn. I'm just not a butter person. You know, I'll have a little salt maybe, but you know, I'm just never been a butter person. So it's always going to be popcorn. When I'm at Alamo, it's always going to be a beer or a drink. So if I can get any kind of alcohol in me, that's always going to be a good starter for the movie. It's a primer for me these days, every day. it's how I get through. It's how I get through the day. Or as I have to drink on the weekends just to forget about the week.
Right. Do you have a preferred drink when you go? Is it beer, or well, bourbon, a margarita? What's the preferred cocktail?
I prefer maybe a margarita. Depend on who I'm with and the time of year. So it's really nice to go to an Alamo Theater in the wintertime and get a nice dark beer, you know, to start out, something that would be nice in that respect. You know, I like going to adult dramas these days. I used to be a huge horror fan when I was younger. I read everything that was horror. I saw everything that was horror. And I would say that now that I'm a little bit older, although I still like some of the horror movies that are out there, it's not my cup of tea. You know, I'm a little more serious about what I want to see and what I want to see on the screen. And then maybe I need a good comedy. We all need a good comedy these days. So
yeah, absolutely,
I'd love to see one. Those two genres, unfortunately, have not been, do not do very well in movie theaters right now. It's usually comic book stuff and the Marvel stuff, which is great. I mean, it's keeping us alive, and family film and the horror stuff does really well. But you know, when you start thinking about adult dramas, you start thinking about everything that our competition puts out, the Netflix and Amazon Prime. That's definitely a genre of film that has faded in movie theaters that I'd love to see return. And romantic comedies as well. That's another one that has all but disappeared, it seems like.
Well, we'll wrap it up with this last question, since you said those are the types of movies you want to see come back. Do you have a particular film that is on the calendar out in the future that you are highly anticipating?
Wow.
I mean, mine would be Top Gun.
It's actually,
I've been waiting.
Yeah,
I've been waiting for Top Gun. I can't wait. Bond, but is there something?
You know, Brandon, you're in '80s. You're a lot younger than me, right? I mean, you grew up in that '80s era where Top Gun and a lot of these movies.
I saw it 6 times in a movie theater. Not kidding. I saw it at the Dickinson Theater in Kansas City 6 times.
You know what? Here's what I'm going to go with. That's a current movie on the schedule. I can't wait to see it. Death on the Nile.
Oh, yeah. Great cast.
I think the trailer on that is terrific. Kenneth Branagh, he can morph into anything that he wants to. I thought he was terrific in Tenet. Hell, I didn't even recognize him.
Right.
Initially. But, you know, I think the trailer on that looks fantastic. I hope it stays on the 23rd of October. That's right in my wheelhouse right now. A good Agatha Christie novel.
There you go. I love it.
Right on.
Well, Tim, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. And again, thank you for all the hard work and bringing people back to movie theaters.
Well, thanks for having me. It was a pleasure. And hey, let's hope our industry continues to move forward, and we'll all hang in there, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Tim. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, Scott, Brandon.